I believe that God has a word for us today, so let's pray and prepare our heart for the word of the Lord. Father, we just humble ourselves before you, Lord. We know that you are speaking, and we ask, Lord, that you'd help us to have ears to hear. Father, that everything that you have for us this morning, Lord, we will receive and cherish it until it brings forth a great harvest in our life to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, back at the beginning of the year, I shared a message about change. Now, I don't expect you to remember that. I know that you probably don't remember what I preached 2 weeks ago. But I say that because, you know, a lot of the time we start off a new year with the idea that we're going to change some things, it's going to be different. You know, a lot of people make resolutions. And by the way, the average life expectancy of a New Year's resolution is about 2 weeks. That's how that goes. But I say that because, you know, here we are 10 months in, and I know that for most people, not much change has really happened. Now, we're just a couple of months to the new year, and I suppose we could push this message back to the new year, and we could repeat that same pattern again. But I'll tell you, the power of God's word is life-changing. Yes. And I believe that God wants to do a work in our hearts now. I believe that God wants to begin something in us that is going to continue on and bring fruit in our lives, make us more fruitful, more productive. And I believe this is going to be life-changing today if we'll commit to it. We all have habits, some good, some bad. I told my wife that I was going to quit all my bad habits. But then I realized, you know, nobody likes a quitter. So that's wrong. No, here's a good habit. Every day you tell your wife that you love her. Here's a habit that I've waffled back and forth on whether it's a good or bad one. You get a Starbucks every day. No, it's not a good habit. It's really not. Maybe you brush your teeth every morning. There's a good habit. Yeah. Maybe you drive too fast every day. Exercise every day. There's a good habit. Or maybe you stay up late playing some game online or watching TV. Not a good habit. Eating too much. Not a good habit. Expressing your opinion about everything, not a good habit. I'm just telling you, we all have good habits and terrible habits and everything in between, but so many of the habits of our lives tend to be fruitless. Sometimes we develop a habit in our life just purely out of accident. We didn't decide that we were going to form this habit. It's just something that kind of happened. You know, you get online and you go on Facebook for 10 minutes once in a while, and then just a few weeks down the road, you're on there for an hour or two every day. A habit. Didn't really plan it, it just kind of happened that way. So I'm going to tell you this morning, we need to be intentional about the habits of our life, that it doesn't just happen by accident. But we're being intentional about the way we live our lives and about the habits that we develop. You see, we form habits, and then our habits form us. Your habits have everything to do with the person that you are today. And the habits of your life from this time forward have everything to do with the person that you become. I'm going to give you an example. I know that some of you are thinking real hard about how habits form you. Well, let me give you a simple example that many of us have experienced firsthand. Here it comes. That's painful for me, but you get a bag of potato chips when you get home from work. and you're tired and you just want to relax a minute, and so you go sit on the couch and you turn on the TV and you just, you know, let the brain check out while you watch some stupid show and you mindlessly eat these chips. And you know what? That was cool. There's an instant reward. You know what I'm saying? You relax and you know, you're getting some food, and hey, that was good. Let's make this great. Next time I'm gonna have chips and salsa. Now, praise God, we're going somewhere. And you know, after a while, this habit turns into something more, where it's not one show, it turns into 3 hours of TV and going back and forth to the kitchen all the time. You know what I'm saying? You're wearing the refrigerator door out. And then somewhere along around 40 or so, sitting on the couch and can't hardly get up. And we're thinking, how did this happen? Habit. That habit will absolutely form you. It will form you physically, but it will also form you. Some of you young people think you're immune. Just give it a little time. It'll catch up with you. Just believe me, it's a habit. It will form you, but it also forms you in every way. Our habits form who we are and who we are becoming. The power of habit is that it can totally change you. It may take a little while, but it can totally change your life. So I'm going to share five scriptural habits. It's very important you understand. This is not just some ideas. These are scriptural habits that will absolutely change your life. They are simple things. That doesn't always mean easy, but they are simple. And many of us, we're well aware of these things, and yet we don't really live them out and follow through with them a lot of the time. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to actually do it. But we want to be doers of the Word of God, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And I want to remind you this morning, we are always supposed to be growing as a Christian. If you're not growing, you may think you're maintaining, but you're really going backwards. We're always supposed to be growing and moving forward. I appreciate the message that Jonathan preached last week, and we talked about possessing certain qualities in increasing measure so that we can be fruitful and productive. It's an increasing measure. We can't just stay where we are and be fruitful and productive. We have to always be growing. And so I want to challenge you this morning. Let's get rid of the unproductive habits. Let's take on these five scriptural habits. And I tell you, it'll bring a great harvest in our life. It'll make us more productive than we ever thought possible. One of the things we need to understand about habits is that there's usually some kind of reward involved. Now, some rewards are instant and some pay off later. Like when you go to the dentist and he says, no cavities, you get to keep your teeth. I mean, that's a reward. You don't get that when you brush your teeth every day, but you get it down the line. And in fact, it becomes more and more important. It's another one of those that as you get older, it becomes more important. You're glad that you did that for all those years. But you know what? A lot of our habits are that way, good habits and bad habits. We don't really see where that habit is taking us immediately sometimes. But our habits form us and shape us. And if we choose the right habits, they make us into something better. That is a great reward. It doesn't usually happen instantly. It may not give you that rush that a venti vanilla latte with an extra shot of espresso will give you. Oh, I like that. I get one of those on the trip, going and coming. I might have my excuse. It keeps me awake while I drive. But man, I enjoy it. There's an instant rush. You know what? With these scriptural habits, I want to tell you, sometimes you may get a rush, but sometimes you don't get a rush. The payoff is down the line. But listen to me. It's so much more powerful, so much more wonderful, so much more a great reward that eventually comes when our lives are changed and we're becoming who and all that God wants us to be. So how many of you have some bad habits? Raise your hand. Oh, that's pretty good. Now, if your spouse doesn't have their hand up, I want you to just go ahead and take the liberty of remind them about some things. No, don't do that. I'm just, that's wrong. So, we all have some bad habits. And here's one of the wonderful things about habits. They can be changed. Now, you know, all of us have struggled with our own will to try to break some bad habits, and we've failed. But here's the thing. They can be changed. And where you have a bad habit, you can replace that with a good habit. In fact, one of the best ways to get rid of an old habit is to start some new habits. And this morning, maybe to varying degrees, but I think that there's something here for all of us in these five scriptural habits. I know there is for me, and I believe there is for each and every one of us. So, scriptural habits are especially life-changing because it is obeying God's Word, and there's great power in God's Word. That's the first one. It's huge. Spend time in God's Word every day. Every day. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is the man, blessed by God, favored. I mean, good things happening to this man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I want you to know that's a very bad habit. I don't care how smart they are, how successful they appear to be, how confident they are. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. It will mess you up. It'll get you thinking wrong, and it'll head you down the wrong path. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that is destruction. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. Hanging out with the wrong kind of people is a bad habit. Do you know that Satan almost always uses Scripture to deceive Christians? And I want to make this very clear. Jesus went to where sinners were so that he could minister to them and save them. Jesus did not go to where sinners were so he could hang out with them and just be one of the guys. No! Young people, listen to me. When you hang out with the wrong kind of people, it is a bad habit that will mess you up. The Bible says that the companion of fools suffers harm. You don't have to be a fool. Just hang out with one and you will suffer harm. The man that's blessed, he doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He doesn't hang out there. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Scornful, mocking, making fun, ridicule. It is a bad habit. We live in a world where it is all around us constantly. You see it on TV, you hear it on the radio, it's all over social media. It's people around us, ridicule, mocking, making fun. Bad habit. Here it is. Here's his habit, but his delight, this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Now, I'm not going to take a long time here. I just want to explain this word very quickly. Meditate, that just means that he thinks about it over and over again. He doesn't just read over a passage of Scripture and forget about it and go on about his day. But instead, he meditates it. He thinks about it until he gets it down inside of him. He's not going to forget it. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. This is a habit that every Christian needs to have in their life. day and night, day and night, day and night. That is habit, one of the most life-changing habits you could ever start, day and night. Do you have time for that? How many of you eat at least twice a day? Okay, that's most of us. How many of you have refused to raise your hand no matter what I say? There you go again. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And if we have time to eat, I'm telling you, we have time for God's word. Yes. We take care of the outside. Hey, I'm glad that you take care of the outside, all right? I like pretty. I married pretty. But I'm just telling you, if you got to choose between taking care of the outside and taking care of the inside, take care of the inside. It'll last. If you got to choose between natural food and spiritual food, if it has to be a choice for you, choose the spiritual food. I knew a guy one time that got saved, and at his job, his co-workers and he used to smoke pot together. And when he got saved, he made a new habit. During lunch, instead of hanging out with his old pothead friends, he would go to his truck and sit in his truck and read the Bible. I'm just telling you, you want to see your life change? Change some habits. And here's the first one you need, is that you daily, day and night, you got time for God's word. You make time. See, we do what's really important to us, and I'm just telling you, you need to understand how important the Word of God is for you, that it will transform your life. Hebrews 4:12 declares that it is alive and powerful. It has an inherent power in it to change your life. What a great habit. And I said that habits form you. And here it is in verse 3, so plain and so simple. He shall be, you see, he has a habit, and he shall be. What are you going to be? It's going to be a result of your habits. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I want to be that guy. I want to be fruitful, even in difficult times. I want to be prosperous. Maybe when nobody else is, the economy's bad, this is happening, that's happening. I will tell you something. This changes everything. He delights himself in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. He's going to be like a tree planted by the edge of the river. Even in the hard times, even in the bad times, still prosperous. It can't just be something that we do once in a while. It has to be something that we prioritize, that we make a place for in our day. You need to figure out where this is going to fit in your day. Now, we all just have the same 24 hours, and my guess is that you've been using your 24 somewhere. So in order to do this, and maybe you do it a little bit, well, to increase it, you're going to have to move something. Something else has to give. Now, here's the good thing. Most of us certainly have some fruitless activity that we can replace with spending time in God's Word, because it will transform our life. But you got to figure that out. When am I going to do this? Every morning, every evening, maybe at lunch. When and how am I going to do this? We have to commit to it. Can't just be when we're in a desperate situation, you know, oh, Lord, help me, speak to me, Lord, give me a verse. The son of Hinnon and burned his children in the fire. I don't think that's it, Lord. Give me a word. That's not how it works. It's not just when we're desperate. It's not just, you know, once in a while when everything falls into place, I'm going to get out my Bible. No, it has to be something that we are making a habit of in our life. It's a priority in our life that we realize how important it is that every day we spend time in God's Word. And I want you to know that when you open your heart and your mind to the Word of God every day, it brings faith for the miraculous. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. All of a sudden, you begin to believe God for things that you wouldn't have been able to believe God for before. It'll bring truth that sets free. Jesus says, if you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm just telling you, this Word, it'll change you. It'll have a great impact in your life. You see, sometimes when you're sick and you're spending time in the Word, I'm telling you, it's like medicine. He sent His Word and healed them. The Word of God can restore your soul. It is alive and powerful. This is not a dead book. And this isn't just for preachers. No, it's for all of us. We need to spend time in God's Word every day. Now, I'm going to give you this just as a pastor to those that maybe are just starting out, and or maybe you've been in church a long time, but starting out reading the Word. I know that it's a struggle. I know that sometimes, you know, you feel like you're reading things that you don't understand, and you wonder if you're ever going to get it, and you got to start where you are. But I'm just going to give you some simple advice. Don't start in the book of Leviticus. Read Genesis, because in Genesis you will find many of the patriarchs and the great miracles that God did in their life. Read. Some of you need to jot this stuff down. Read Psalms and Proverbs. Simple things that will speak to you every day in your life right now. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the Acts. Read Romans, and then you can go on to some of the other epistles, but you don't need to get into Revelation yet. Believe me, there are people who have been studying it for 40 years, and they still don't understand half of it. Always amazes me how Christians have never read the Bible. All they want to read is Revelation. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things that will speak to your life right now, right where you're living. Help you with your marriage, help you raising your kids, help you be the person that God wants you to be. But you got to read the Bible, spend time in God's Word. You say, what happens with a lot of Christians is they got their favorites, their promises. Well, that's okay, that's good. But you need more than that. You know, you start reading the Bible, and all of a sudden you get a deeper understanding of the promises and how God moves and how God works. You just start reading the Bible, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to come across some truths that don't line up with some of the stuff that you grew up believing or things that you were taught before. Just reading the Bible. It's amazing how the Bible will straighten you out if you'll read it. You see, you're gonna find out some things that, well, you're just simply not going to find out from getting your verse you read on Facebook. You need to read the Bible. Every day, this habit of spending time in God's Word, and I'll tell you, as you do that, you begin to grow in your understanding, and you learn and understand things that you never imagined before. 2 Timothy 3:16, the NIV says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I'm telling you that all of it is from God, that it is inspired by God, and it's in there for a reason, and it will help you to live a life that God wants you to live, but you got to make it a habit. It is the Word of God that tells us how we're supposed to live and what pleases God. It is the Word of God that shows us who we are supposed to be as a child of God. It is the Word of God that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We all face decisions every day. Some of them may not look very big, but you'd be amazed in the big scheme of things how sometimes you made this one little choice and it sets you on course for something good or something bad. The Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I'm telling you, you don't need to live in this world without the Word of God to light your way. You need that wisdom. You need that direction from God's Word every day. It is the Word of God that has life-changing power in it to renew your mind and transform your life. And if you keep going in the Word, you will know Him in a way that you never thought possible before. If you stay in the Word, you will understand Him like you never have before. And I'm not talking about some made-up imaginary God of somebody's imagination. I'm talking about the one true God. He is the God of the Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. You want to know Jesus? Verse 14 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You want to know Jesus? You'll know Him in His Word. And I'm telling you, it will change you, transform your life. One of my favorite passages is Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. It says, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. You want to know Him? You got to have this habit in your life that every day you spend time in His Word. Second, pray throughout the day. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That means that we are in constant communication with Him. That daily we begin our day having a time where we talk to the Lord, but then we don't just leave that conversation and forget about Him till the next morning. No, we are in communication with Him. We're talking to the Lord throughout our day. At every event, every turn of life, every issue, every problem, every victory, we're talking to the Lord. If we're not praying, we're just playing. We want to be real? Want to be a real Christian? We got to pray every day. You see, Christianity isn't just about a set of rules, it is about a relationship. And you can't have a relationship with somebody that you don't talk to. And the depth of your relationship is in relation to the time that you spend with the Lord, that you talk to Him and you let Him speak to you. Prayer is how we ask for God's help. And here's the amazing thing. We may not understand. We will the more that we read the Scripture. But we may not understand the ways of God. And He says things like, you have not because you ask not. And you say, well, if I was God, I wouldn't do it that way. Well, you're not. And He is. And this is the way He does it. You have not because you ask not. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. How could we be so foolish not to be asking all the time for God's help? This is how we get the help of the Almighty, is that we ask. How awesome is that? How wonderful is that privilege to ask for His help? And it's something that we do every day. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, is what we call it. It's the model prayer. He gave us this as a pattern, a model for prayer. He said to pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. So he's talking about something that we pray every day. And it is not about actual bread. It is not about praying these exact words. The principle that he gave us is that every day we look to God with our needs. That every day we realize that our Heavenly Father is the one that's taking care of us. He said, oh no, I take care of my family. Well, I want to tell you something. You better watch that pride, or there'll come a day when you're put in a place where you find out who your real supplier and source is. He is our provider, and every day we shouldn't take for granted. We should ask God to take care of our needs. Prayer is such a wonderful privilege that we need to make it a part, a habit of our lives every day. It's the most powerful thing you will ever do, because it brings the power of the Almighty. You start your day with prayer, because you don't want to do a day by yourself. You need His help. You need His blessing. One of the most prideful things that people do is to not pray. Because it is as if to say to God, I just really don't need you right now. I got this. And we do need Him all the time. Pray without ceasing. One man said it this way: I pray when I wake up to ask God's guidance and blessing on this day. I pray for my loved ones and those who are in a battle. I pray over my breakfast. Then I pray for safe travel. I pray for wisdom and strength to do a good job at work. I pray for my coworkers that don't know the Lord. I pray for the success of my business. I pray for safe travel again. I pray over my relationship with my wife. I pray about the issues that my children are dealing with. I pray and turn over all my cares to the Lord. Then I pray for a good night's sleep. I'm just telling you, you can add in literally hundreds and thousands of more reasons to pray without ceasing, that throughout our day, we just need to make it a habit that we're constantly talking to our Father, constantly praying about things. You know, with habits, there are triggers a lot of times. And that's true with good habits, and especially seems like with bad habits, there are things that can trigger a bad habit. Well, I want to just give you a few triggers for prayer. Before you start anything, you're about to do something, about to start something, pray first. Pray first. Before you have a conversation with somebody, pray. Sometimes you got to pray while you're having that conversation, like Nehemiah did when he went to the king. But I'm telling you, pray. Pray before you eat. Don't just sit down and dig into your food like some dog. No, pray over your food. Thank God for it. The Lord Jesus did. What if somebody sees me? They might think you're a Christian. My goodness. When you don't know what you need to do, you don't know what to do, oh, what a great time to pray, to ask for God's direction and wisdom. When you think you know what to do, what a great time to pray. When you're struggling, pray. When you're all alone, I'm all alone, here's a trigger to pray. I'm in the middle of a crowd of people. Trigger to pray. I'm just telling you, you can develop some triggers to help you develop that habit of prayer that's going to form you. There's nothing that will form you into the image of Christ more than spending time with Him, talking to Him, and Him talking to you. This is life-changing. Simple habit of prayer. You know, some of these things, you might just start off small, but if you make it a habit, like so many habits, it'll begin to grow. Start where you are, but start this habit now. Don't wait. Who knows how much trouble we could avoid, how much heartache we would be spared, how many mistakes we would not make, and how much time we would save if we just made it a habit to pray before we did anything. Next, In everything, give thanks. I realize that this is that month. We're coming up on Turkey Day, when millions of people everywhere will say, thank you, God, for the turkey. Amen. That's not what it's about. And it's not a day for us. And yes, give thanks that day. Give thanks every day in every situation. We give thanks. This is a lifestyle for the Christian. Not just when everything is all good, and I'm telling you that here in America, we pretty much every day, it's all good. Y'all real quiet. You realize we have more than any people that ever lived before, and yet we live in a nation of complainers and ungrateful people. It is as true as can be, the scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 3, that in the last days, people will be ungrateful. We're living in that generation. We got to go against the grain. We got to have this habit in our life that in every situation, whatever's going on, we're giving God thanks. We are thankful. I am grateful that the Lord saved me, that He paid the price for my sins, that He loves me in spite of me. I am grateful for His grace, His mercy, the peace, the joy, the blessing of God on my life. I'm thankful for health and prosperity. I am thankful for my family, for children that serve the Lord. I am grateful for my beautiful wife of 37 years, a true gift from God. I'm just telling you, I got a lot to be thankful for. I feel like one of the spoiled ones. You know what I'm saying? I'm thankful for the family of God, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful that I get to serve as pastor, the sweetest group of people that God ever brought together in one church. I'm thankful for the people that are kind to me and support me and encourage me. So much to be thankful for. I am grateful to God for His anointing, His touch on my life, the honor that He would use me in some way. I am grateful for His goodness and mercy that follow me every day. Spoiled. But all of us have trouble at times. How do we handle those times? And what do we do with those verses that say things like, in everything, give thanks? It doesn't tell us to give thanks for the bad things or evil things that happen, but it says in everything, in every situation, there's something to be thankful for, to be grateful for. And you know what? You can always find something to complain about, and you can always find something to be grateful for. And so we have to make this a habit of our life, that we are grateful people. Here's your trigger for when you need to be thankful. Anytime something good happens, well, thank God for it. Don't take it for granted. And anytime something bad happens, that's a trigger. Wait a minute. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to give God thanks. Now, I know that it's tough. You see, when you got bills to pay, and you're wondering, how am I going to do this? Well, you thank God, my God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory. When your loved one is sick or you're sick yourself, it's hard when you feel bad, but you say, I'm so grateful that I have a healer, that by His stripes I was healed. The same one who forgives all my iniquities heals all my diseases. You see, even when you lose a loved one, you can be thankful, you can be grateful, because you can say, you know what? This isn't over. I'm going to see them again. There's always a reason to be thankful. In everything, give thanks. And oh, how it will transform you. Did you know that ungrateful complainers are miserable people? Just listen to them. And grateful people are happy people. I'll tell you something else about grateful people. People like to be around somebody that's grateful and thankful. And nobody wants to listen to complaining, negative garbage all day long. Want to be a witness for the Lord? This is part of how we do that, is that we are always giving God thanks, always acknowledging His work in our life. And it is such a powerful part of our prayer life. You see, if we're praying without ceasing, we're going to end up giving thanks all the time, because the Bible tells us, Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here's why we pray with thanksgiving, because when we pray, we actually believe that God is going to do what we're asking. He may not do it the way we tell Him to, but God's going to take care of it. And so we pray with thanksgiving. If we're not praying with thanksgiving, either we're just spoiled brats or we don't really believe that God's going to do anything. Because when we pray and we think, you know what, God's taking care of this, you've got something to thank Him for. It is an expression of our faith that we believe. We can trust Him. We know that He's going to take care of it. Next, rejoice all the time. Preacher, that's just taking it too far. I didn't write it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Always. That's a habit. Always. All the time. Well, you know, if I get in the mood, you know, I mean, if I'm feeling good and my song comes on, my kid scores a touchdown, yeah! No, always, always rejoice. Oh, this one's going to be tough for some of us, because I can tell you that a lot of people, they don't really get this one. We need to get it. It has to be a habit in our life, a pattern. Strange how little rejoicing you see in the body of Christ today, even in Sunday morning worship. There's very little real rejoicing going on. You say, what does it mean to rejoice? I want to tell you, it means something, and we need to know what that is. You see, we can't just say, well, I'm rejoicing on the inside. The words for rejoice, none of them can be described by something on the inside. To rejoice is an expression, an outward expression of joy on the inside. See, you can have joy on the inside and nobody might see it. But when you rejoice, people see it. People know that you are happy. Rejoice. Always. Make it a habit of your life. See, we all know what it means to rejoice. When our team wins, we know what that looks like. I got news for you. Our team always wins. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you, we always have something to be rejoicing about. Psalm 100, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. I want you to understand that God likes joy and rejoicing. He is not stoic and unemotional as some portray Him to be. You can see in the Scripture, there are times that He laughs, there's times that He weeps. He is emotional. He likes singing and shouting and clapping your hands and rejoicing. Every time somebody turns to the Lord, out of the 7 billion on planet Earth, there is a celebration around the throne of God. That's part why we come together as a church, is to celebrate. But it's not just for church. We're supposed to be rejoicing all the time. It goes on, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Don't serve the Lord with a long face. Look like you drank some pickle juice. Tell them you go to that other church, all right? No, don't do that. That's not right. here's what's right. Find a reason to rejoice. Amen. To praise the Lord. To give God glory. It's always something that you can rejoice in. And it needs to become a part of your life. Come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. This is how you come into the presence of God. You start singing. Ephesians 5 says to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, you come before His presence with singing. You know, some ladies, they have this beauty regimen. They say, well, now here's this product, and this will reduce fine wrinkles and lines on your face. And it becomes part of your regimen. It's a habit. You're going to do it every day. Well, I got a new regimen for you this morning. Did you know they have found that people that sing a lot, their faces don't wrinkle as much because their face stays toned? You need to make this a part of your daily regimen. It'll make you beautiful. At least in the eyes of God, it'll make you beautiful. Don't tell me, oh, that's so hard, preacher. How can we rejoice every day? But you go buy that cream for $400 and smear it on your face every day. And don't miss don't misunderstand me. We're glad you do. Sorry. I love you, beautiful. I'm sorry. Sometimes, you know, we all go through difficult times, sad times, heartbreaking, gut-wrenching times. And sometimes you just got to do what Isaiah 61:3 says. You put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You don't feel like it. It's hard. You feel like crying. But you know what you do? You go ahead and you lift your hands to God and you just praise Him that He is your healer, that He's your strong tower, that He's your provider, that He's going to make a way where it seems there is no way. And you just put on the garment of praise. You put it on and you rejoice in the Lord. Always. Paul wrote it from prison in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. From prison he's writing it. None of you are in prison this morning. You might be in a prison of sorts, but he was in a literal prison writing these words, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, because there's always a reason for us to rejoice. You know, the disciples came back, been casting out demons, and they were so excited. They were all rejoicing. And Jesus tells them, rejoice rather, because your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know if you cast any demons out today, but if you're saved, if you're born again, and your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, Jesus says, you got a good reason to rejoice. Rejoice that you're His child, that He loves you, that you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Rejoice in all the goodness of the Lord. And you know what? When things are going wrong in our world and people around us are all upset and they're all talking that junk every day, all that ick. Rejoice. Listen to this from Habakkuk. Chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Listen, in this economy, that was a terrible situation. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet. In spite of the way things look, in spite of the circumstances, this needs to be our attitude. If we're going to have a habit of rejoicing, I'm telling you, it has to be your attitude. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on the high hills. He's saying, I'm going to rise above all this. I'm going to overcome. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. I'm just telling you, we don't have to be sad and down like the world, because our God is enough. We can always find a reason to rejoice. If you let Satan get you down, steal your joy, and get you to complaining and not rejoicing, I want to tell you, he's going to visit you often. You see, if Satan has a habit, talking about habits this morning, if he's got a habit of messing with you, well, it's because he likes the reward he's getting. You need to give him something back different instead of letting him get to you and get you down. Whenever he tries to attack you, your family in some way, you start rejoicing in the Lord. That is not the response that he wants. You start praising the Lord and giving God glory, that you know that God is the one that's going to turn it around and get you through to victory. He might decide he don't want to mess with you so much. But I'm telling you this, our God is worthy of our praise, of our rejoicing, so we rejoice always. Last, encourage one another daily. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13 in the NIV says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." We see it every day, church. Every day we see people that have drifted away from God. The things of this world have turned their heart away from God. They no longer serve Him, no longer living for God. And he gives us an answer. He says, see to it. You see, sometimes we watch people turn away. We watch people struggle. We watch people fall. We watch people get out of church and head the wrong direction and mess up their lives. And we say, well, you know what? It's their own fault. It's not my fault. It's their problem. But here the Lord says to us, see to it that none of you. See, we got to take care of each other. And it takes all of us. We all need to be connected with other believers where we know how they're doing. And he puts it on us. See to it. See to it. Now, I'm well aware that some people, you know what? They're just bent to head the wrong direction. But we have a responsibility to do everything we can. And he tells us in these two verses what it is that we're to do. He says, but encourage one another daily. See, you might think that this is just a small thing, but the Bible makes it clear that it's very powerful. It can make the difference in whether or not somebody makes it. Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. This is how we help people in the hard times. We help them overcome. Encouragement. It can make the difference in whether or not somebody keeps their commitment to the Lord, whether or not somebody grows in the Lord. Such a need for encouragement in the body of Christ. The one who's struggling, they need encouragement. The one who has already strayed away, they need encouragement to come home. The one who looks like they're doing good, you know what? They need encouragement too. And all of us have a responsibility to see to it. He says, encourage one another daily. This is a habit, that this is the way we live our life, that we encourage people. We don't partake in the attitudes of the world where we're criticizing and ridiculing. Some people do this in the name of Jesus. They're just Pharisees. We don't ridicule and criticize and tear people down. Instead, we build them up. We encourage them. We strengthen their faith. Y'all don't get quiet on me. We need this. This needs to be a habit. It needs to be the way we live our life, that we are encouraging one another daily. Amen. Somebody that always criticizes and puts others down, that's not a blessing. That's a curse. But when you build other people up and you've always got something good to say to somebody, I want you to know that's a blessing. The Bible says that out of the same fountain shouldn't come cursing and blessing. We're supposed to bless people, encourage people, help people. Who needs encouragement? The teenager that's having a hard time with their grades? The one that's waiting for the right person to marry? The guy that just lost his job? He doesn't need to be criticized. He needs encouragement. The one that's dealing with a long-term illness? They need encouragement. The one that's just started into a new area of ministry? They need encouragement. You know, so many people been doing something for a long time, and you think, oh, well, they don't need it. Yes, they do, because a lot of people get burned out. They need encouragement. Encourage our children's workers, our nursery workers. Keep them encouraged. If you don't, we're going to stick you in there. Not really. Not really. But encourage them. Keep them going. Help them by your words of encouragement. The one who's made mistakes and fallen into some sin, you know what they need? No, they don't need somebody to go straighten them out. They need somebody to lovingly restore them in a spirit of meekness. They need encouragement. They need somebody to help them. And you know what? Maybe sometimes we can survive without encouragement. But if we build one another up with encouragement, I tell you, it just makes us all stronger. So when you see somebody down, you see somebody not doing well, when you see somebody doing good, encourage them. Amen. You see somebody on fire. You see somebody trying. Encourage them. Keep them going. Encourage one another daily. We all fall. We all make mistakes sometimes. And we all need encouragement. None of us has arrived. If you'll make a choice to do these five things, I want to tell you, it'll change you. It'll form you. It'll help you become the person that He wants you to be. You'll find yourself growing stronger, walking in faith, being led of the Spirit, being used of God more, truly following Jesus if you just do these five simple habits as part of your daily life. Keep your eyes on the prize. There's a great reward that we will be changed. See, we won't look back on a year and say, well, I don't know if anything really much changed. We'll look back on a month and realize that God is working in our life, that He is changing my life. You can do this. Every morning, while you have your coffee, let it be a trigger to read your Bible. Every morning when you put your key in the ignition, it's a trigger to pray. When you put the kids to bed, it's a trigger not just to pray, but to give thanks. When you get up from the table at dinner, you ought to be giving God thanks, rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. I'm just telling you, find triggers that will help you remember to do these things. And you know what? Some of this, it may sound a little legalistic to us Spirit-filled people, and I just want to address this real quick. You see, we say, well, you know what? If we just need to be led of the Spirit. We don't have to develop these habits. I'm just going to be led of the Spirit. I want to tell you something. If you're not reading the Word, staying in the Word every day, and praying every day, and in everything giving thanks, and rejoicing all the time, and encouraging one another daily, you are not walking and being led of the Spirit. But if you'll do those things and make them a daily part of your life, you will find yourself being led of the Spirit. This is how we're supposed to live. Let's not be hearers only. Let's do these things. The Bible makes it so clear that these are scriptural habits that all of us are supposed to live in. Last thing, believe that you can do this. If you don't believe you can, you probably can't. Now let me clarify, this is very important. I'm not talking about you by yourself. We all know how that goes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're not doing this by ourselves. It is not just sheer human will. We are trusting God to help us to put these simple habits into effect in our life that will bring forth fruit to His honor and glory. And we will become who He wants us to be. Some psychologists say that if you do something for 21 days, you have formed a new habit. If you start today and you do this every day through November 30th, you will have done this 21 days. And I want to tell you, you will have formed life-changing habits. And even at that point, you will already begin to see change in your life. So I want to ask you to commit to 21 days. I'm going to do my very best with the help of the Holy Spirit to do these five habits every day of my life. If you'll do that, I'm telling you, this is real. This is real Christianity. This is people looking like real Christians, acting like real Christians. It will so impact our life if we do this for these 21 days. We won't ever want to stop. I really do believe that. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank You that You know what we need. And Lord, I just believe that You're speaking to hearts this morning where we need change. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We know we can't do it without You. But Father, with You, there's nothing that we can't do. And so, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus for those that have been bound and hindered and in some negative pattern, that today is their day to break free. I pray, Father, for those that are questioning themselves whether they could possibly do these things. I pray, Father, that today You give them the faith to trust You to help them. And Father, I pray for those that are discouraged today, that today will be their turnaround to victory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I want our prayer partners to come. And as we dismiss our service today, I want to give you the opportunity to come for prayer. Some of you came with a need today. Let somebody pray with you. But I believe there are many of you here this morning that you know you need to form some new habits in your life, and you're struggling right now. Maybe it's because of how busy you are or some other issue in your life, or maybe it's because you've just tried and tried before. Let somebody pray with you. There's power in the prayer of agreement. As these prayer partners add their faith to yours, Jesus said, if any two of you agree together as touching anything, it shall be done for them of My Father in heaven. And so if you want prayer this morning, well, I just encourage some of you maybe with these words. After the first service, I came for prayer. I do these things, but I don't do them near enough. And I want them to be a habit in my life every day. And if that's you and you really want to make this happen in your life, I encourage you to come for prayer. So as I speak the blessing over you and we dismiss, if you want prayer, you come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.